As above, so below.
Welcome to Connecting with Coincidence. I am your host, Bernard Beitman, MD. I'm the founder of the Coincidence Project. And I also encourage you to come to the Coincidence Cafe if you like to tell stories about coincidence, synchronicity, serendipity. You can go to my website, which is coincider.com. And there's a link to being able to do that, or just go directly to the Coincidence Project, all one word, thecoincidenceproject.net. And you can join us every third Saturday of the month at 11 a.m. Eastern Time and learn to other people's coincidence stories. A lot of people like to do that. It's fun for them to be able to know that other people are experiencing what they're experiencing. And there's a lot of differences. You're going to hear one today that is probably a little different from what you know about. I'll tell you one of my stories. A friend of mine responded to a request from a friend of his to have a place to stay for 2 months. The person accepted. But because of the clashes between my friend and the guest, my friend insisted that the guest leave. During that 2 months period of the stay, the house in which they were both living experienced three problems. The washing machine flooded for the first time in 12 years. A crucial part of the outdoor electrical system needed immediate replacement, or all the appliances in the house were going to go boom. Then on the guest's last night in the house, the internet went down in the neighborhood. Is all this just a coincidence or not? I mean, you get three things, one person, it's easy to find patterns. It could be just a series of random events that happened while that person was in the house. Up to you. I don't know. Hard to prove, but it's the kind of thing that the Coincidence Project is going to try to investigate. Our guest today is going to tell us another story that has two parts to it that are a little hard to figure out how they happened, but he's got a better way of thinking about it than I had about the house problem. Kirby is a respiratory therapist who went to Miami-Dade College. He was born in Haiti and came to Miami in 1970. He doesn't look it, but he's 55. He lives in Hollywood, Florida. His parents told him that he came back from the dead when he was 2.5 years old. I mean, he died three times, apparently. His parents prayed over him each time. They didn't believe he was going to be gone. And here he is, age 55, ready to tell us a coincidence story. He lived in Europe for 3 years. Amsterdam was important in developing his skills and experiencing the mysterious world of synchronicity. And boy, is Kirby into coincidences, synchronicity. He's really a lover of this idea in his heart and in his mind. He's been searching for the meaning of his own life, and he discovered synchronicity in 1998. And as several of our other guests have done, he uses synchronicity to guide his life. Welcome to the show, Kirby Jean-Joseph. It's a pleasure to have you and talk with you. We've known each other.
How are you doing, Bernie?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad to have you here. You're looking good. And
all right, thank you.
You're welcome. And we're gonna get you to tell your story, the story you told me, and to alert the audience to it. It's about Kirby's deceased friend and the betting pool at work. So Kirby, you're on.
Yeah. Had a friend, and he didn't show up to work, and he had called in sick, and I said to myself, he's a no-show, and he was sick, so I said to myself, that's not a good sign. So I had a bad feeling about it. So then I went to his apartment. I saw his cars. And I started to really feel really bad about this. And then I knocked on his door, and then I didn't get an answer. And then I called the cops, and the cops came, and they knocked, and we didn't get an answer. And then the cops had called around and you know, local hospitals to find out if that he was a patient, and he was not. And then the cops had called the fire rescue. So they came in, they broke in his apartment, and they had found him deceased. And it was very emotional because I was close to this guy. So then what happened was he had an issue with his family. So he was feuding with his mom for around 20 years. And his family, they didn't want to claim his body. So, and it took like 11 months. So like I called the morgue and said that I would claim, you know, his body. And we were like about to have a ceremony for him. And it was the start of a COVID. So it was hard for me to, you know, get a group. So I kept his you know, ashes for 3 years. And, you know, finally, you know, COVID had, you know, died down. And I was able to have a gathering. So I had his ashes, and he was a Miami Dolphins fan. So I went to the stadium during the game, and I spread his ashes a little bit in at the stadium, because you can't put the whole thing there. And then at the next day, you know, like I went to the beach and I poured in the ocean, because he had loved you know, water. And for the past 5 years, we always have a betting pool on, you know, on football games. And like I never came in how you call it, first place, you know, never. And then later that day, I got a text from my boss at work and said, "Kirby, guess what?" I said, "What?" "You won the contest." And I couldn't believe it. And then I looked up, you know, into the sky, and I say thanks, you know, and I felt like it was a thank you from him to me. Now, as far as signs, that I always look back and I always think about the probability, and it was incredible because I played for 5 years. And I never won, but I won that same day. You know, I had poured into the ocean and stuff. So, you know, incredible.
The same day you put his ashes into the ocean,
mm-hmm.
the same day you put his ashes into the ocean, you won the betting pool. And did you bet every week in the football betting? Every week.
Yeah.
So right. For 5 years, for like at least 16 or maybe 20, if you got to the Super Bowl, you were in the betting pool. Five times 20. So, I mean, we could say that's 100. And so 1 out of 100 is what you got. And that's 1%, and you know that's something that happens. 1% is not too difficult, but it is a rare thing. But then to do it on the same day that you were putting his ashes into the ocean, you make a connection between something like that, and you say, hey, come on, it looks like there's something going on there. So it was him.
It's true, because on the day we also had a brick ceremony. So in the hospital, if an employee pass away, we have a brick where we put them on a wall, and on the day we had the brick ceremony, I had talked to a crowd, saying like, oh, he was a great guy and all this. And then when I was going home, I go into the car, and then I turn on the radio, and it's a song by the band Chicago. And guess what?
He's from Chicago.
Yeah. So I chuckle, and I'm used to seeing signs, I said, wow. And then when I went home, in the sky, like I saw a streak of cloud, and it was pointing at me. And then like, I look at the, had a streak. And then I took a picture, actually, because I always take a picture. Like I write notes and I take pictures. And then I saw the had a streak, and I said, okay, all right, I guess it tells me thank you. And then I work at night, so like I fell asleep, okay? And then I got up, and then I checked my phone, and guess what I saw? I saw an ad about the play Chicago. So I said to myself, wow, you tell me thank you.
So he was already saying thank you to you before you won the betting pool.
Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, it's like when the world, talks to you. And I mean, it's very touching. I mean, I miss him a lot because he was a nice guy and stuff. And I really meant a lot when like I saw those signs and stuff, I mean, because a lot of people think when you see signs and, a synchronicity, you're crazy, And I always wanted to prove to people, I'm not crazy, I mean, I see this stuff all the time, I mean, and the main thing about these things is that you keep on seeing it all the time, And for you to have a world, you need to see patterns all the time, like how the sun is there all the time. You know what I mean? So patterns is what makes the whole world. And I see it all the time. So to me, it's real. And it guides my life,
This idea of seeing patterns, human beings are geared to seeing patterns. But the patterns a lot of people see, like the sun, as you mentioned, we're kind of trained to think other people think about the sun, and we can see that pattern up in the sky and how it moves. But you've gone a little further, I'd say a lot further, into looking at patterns. And it may have something to do with being called Laza. And I think it's important, if you don't mind, telling your part of that story of how you, at age 2.5, experienced a near-death experience, which I don't know a lot about NDEs, but that's pretty young for one of those to happen, but it must happen. So why don't you tell us about the impact of that NDE on your life?
Yeah. I was two and a half, and I was in Haiti. Haiti is it's a poor country, but it's a proud country, you know. Haiti were the first slaves to have freedom. They fought for it. And then also in Haiti, of course, you have the mystical side, you know, like a lot of people talk about voodoo, Christianity, and all that stuff. And I heard it my whole life. I don't know about it because voodoo is sort of a taboo in the Haitian culture. Like, you might have people who do it, but they always keep it quiet. But it's always around, you know? And what happened was my grandmother, I think it was in the morning, she found me, and I was not responding. And then she told my mom and then my dad. Now, here's what happened was I had a brother. He had died when he was one. So at that moment, they called, had a doctor, and then her doctor came in, and the doctor said that he's dead, you know, he's gone. And then my mom and dad said, no, we are not going to accept this, you know, because it will be the, a second straight, child who have died. And then for 3 hours, they prayed. I mean, prayed. And then my mom had told me that she had started to see that my veins had started to popped up, and then like she saw me moving my eyes, and then I came back. And then from that moment on, my mother has been going to church. Like, she prays every single day, ever since I know her. And up to now, she still, go to church, and then my dad too. And then my grandmother, who is going to be 100 this summer, each time I see her, she still, talk about the time when I died and I came back. And, so my mother, still up to now, is still amazing. And like, she always wonder if I have some, supernatural powers and stuff. And I've been searching, for a long time. I know it sounds weird. I told people the story, and it's kind of weird because I work in a hospital and I don't have no brain, damage, And I told a few people, but I didn't care about the story. You know what I mean? It was just, I'm Haitian and I'm used to hearing strange stuff from Haiti, all that stuff, And I thought that it was just, a strange story. I came back. And then as I got older, I said to myself, people do not come back from the dead. I mean, when you're dead, you're dead, And I just felt that it was time to share my story. I mean, because I think I have a purpose, and synchronicity actually really helps me out, you know.
I think you kind of suggesting to all of us that synchronicity somehow is part of your purpose in life. How might that be?
It's something weird, mysterious, and it's real, you know. And for a long time, when I first saw it, I saw it from a spiritual, point of view. And then I changed a little bit when Paul Camara, I wrote his book, The Laws of
Materiality.
Mm-hmm. Right. That changed me. And then I say to myself, wait a minute, it seemed like this stuff is like the sun. It's like the sun is out there, but we don't know who made the sun, but it's always out there and it's there all the time. You know what I mean? And then like we just learned to like accept, okay, the sun is there, the moon is there, and all that. And then I said to myself, you know what? Maybe this is just a part of the world, and only a few, people, see it, you know? And I'm just amazed. I mean, I'm just amazed of how, when you look at synchronicity, the world don't feel as, random. Because I remember the first time, if I go out to a supermarket and I see people in my mind, I mean, just random people. But now, when I look at synchronicity, I realize that those people are not random, and those people were supposed to be there. I mean, it's how I see the world. It's a little different, but it's how I see the world.
I think it's worth underlining, at least for me, hearing you describe this, that Paul Kammerer was a Viennese, Austria, a botanist who wrote this book, The Law of Seriality, in 1919. And that was well before Jung's book on synchronicity came out in the 50s. And Jung was influenced by Kammerer. But the difference between the two is what you've picked up, that for Kammerer, coincidences like these are a natural law thing, that they're part of regular reality. And what I want our audience to learn from you, Kirby, is that these things aren't necessarily as mysterious as Jung tried to make them out to be. There are some questions about how it all happens, like winning the lottery on the same day that you're spreading your friend's ashes out there. It's still a stretch for Kammerer, who would look at different designs of umbrellas in parks. There's a simple version of it, but he just looked at things that were ordinary, kind of like the way you were doing, and seeing how they seemed to pair up much more regularly than you might have thought. So he was an observer, as you are an observer, but you are doing it the same way he is, which is pretty fundamentally based in ordinary reality, but we just don't know how it works. Kammerer had his ideas about how it worked, and his idea had something to do with things were together at one time, spread apart, and then because they were similar, they started coming back together again. It's probably, he had more complicated versions of that, I know. that it was still a beginning look at how it might happen in the first level of complexity. And that's what you now are saying, that this stuff has some real world applications somehow. It's there. It's a real world phenomenon. And somehow I think you're making also a connection between your NDE at age 2.5 and your ability or your tendency to see these patterns all around us. Is that true? And if so, how?
It doesn't happen too often, but there are times where I could tell how the future, and then I have a rule, and then the rule is that if I see it once, I won't see it again, but if I see it twice, I will see it three times, and I follow that rule, and then it's amazing. Like, if I see it twice, I'm looking for it, and boom, and then also what I like to do sometimes is, like, I like to backtrack signs, and I look at the future, and then sometimes when I'm looking back, I'm just amazed of how it fits in with the physics of this world, you know. And like sometimes, like, I'm looking at it and I say to myself, man, it looks like all this stuff was determined, you know. And it's you have to see it from those lens, you know, and it's kind of like really amazing, you know.
So all this stuff from your perspective, when you look at it, seems like it's been predetermined. Somebody created it somehow, something created it, and you get this feeling of that it's,
yes,
somehow you get this feeling. And how does that relate to your NDE, do you think?
Here is how the part that I see was, my parents had lost a kid already, and they didn't want to lose, like, another kid again. So, like, imagine you, being a parent. So all that emotion is there. And I looked at it and I said to myself, wow, that the same force which came and it gave me life again really didn't do a thing about my brother, you know what I mean? And I said to myself, maybe the whole point was it wanted my parents to be more, you know, religious, you know. Like, I'm just guessing. I don't know the answers, but I'm just guessing because I'm putting that all together. So it's strange, you know, Bernie. I mean, when you see this stuff, it's really amazing. I mean, like, I see it from a spiritual point of view. Like, I see it also as, like, a natural thing. And then I also see it from the probability too, because I just study it from every angle. And sometimes, like I say to myself, that's one out of a billion, you know, that's impossible. Like, I remember a lottery story, which is incredible, was, like, I just came back from Europe and, like, I wasn't working. Okay. So I didn't have no money, but I had, visualized myself having money. So, like, I went to the supermarket and then I heard this lady, and they're like, she said, oh, I just dreamed of how the numbers, and each time I dream, I always win. And then I looked at her, yeah, you dream and you always win. Yeah, right. So I said to myself, well, maybe it's a sign from the universe. So her lady was nice and I gave me her numbers. Okay, cool. So like I didn't think, you know, much about it. And I played them for 3 nights in a row. And like I didn't win nothing. So I said to myself, well, you know, I tried and stuff, and it's just, you know, BS, you know. Cool. Guess what? 3 months later, I went to that same supermarket, right? And I heard this voice. I won last night. And then I look, and it was the same lady. I couldn't believe it. And then, like, I went up to her and said, you won. I think it was the Fancy Five, and I think she won like 100 grand. And then I told her, you had gave me on the numbers, and I played it for, I got 3 nights. And then she told me, well, you should have kept on playing them. And it took like around 3 months. So now that I know, if like you have dreams of the lottery, it takes like 3 months, okay, y'all? So then I said to myself, wait a minute. I had to get up at a certain time. I had to go out and eat. I had to go and do stuff. And I had to be there right at the same moment to hear her yell, I won. And I said to myself, no, that is impossible. And I said to myself, there's something weird about this world, you know? And I said to myself, no way, that is impossible, you know? So so I mean, that was incredible, you know? And then also, like I like to say that your books have really helped me like a whole lot, because I just like the way that you write how your books, and you state like a lot of facts. It's not spiritual. And what I'm trying to mean that, yeah, it is spiritual, but the thing that I see, it's just a natural thing. It happens all the time. It just, some people are in tune to it, and then some people are not. But I think it's starting to grow now, you know, and hopefully that it will be more like a mainstream. Like, it's like the air, okay? When you're a caveman and then like you are, you know, breathing out the air. Yeah, when I'm breathing the air, okay, who cares? But evolution, somebody had learned that in the air, you have a lot of properties, and oxygen, it's so important, because when you're in a hospital, when you can't breathe, we have to give you some what? Oxygen. So I said to myself that, you know what? The information was always there, but it was going to come out. And then we were going to learn that if you take it out, oxygen is going to heal you. But as a caveman, you really don't know, because you're just breathing air. So what I'm trying to say is that seeing signs, a synchronicity, might be something there that we're just learning to, you know, find out, and we could evolve and help our people, you know, like, for example, the shooting which happened at Nashville. It really touched me because for us people who see signs of synchronicity, we always have this feeling that the world is heck of perfect. And what I mean by that, if things are going your way, it's okay. And if things look like it's going to a negative place, it's fine because it is going to lead you to the right place. And this is how you think when you see signs all the time. And when I saw how the shooting and stuff, and then I see a lot of things like here in South Beach, like in Miami, like a spring break, we had like two, you know, fatal shootings. And I said to myself, man, if these people, if they knew that their thoughts and mind was hooked up to how the earth, and if they could understand how the principle of synchronicity, maybe we wouldn't have a shooting in Nashville in the school, you know? I mean, and I hope that we could learn more about this and we could help a lot of people to see that there's another way to see how the world. And I hope something could really come, you know, out of this, because it's very strange, Bernie. I mean, synchronicity is so strange, because what you think as a kid, how what is real, is really not, and it's warped, you know?
Yeah, what we learn in school and what our parents teach us is pretty limited. And once you start getting some of these what are weird experiences to a lot of people, then you start seeing more of them. And the idea that you're talking about, to be able to bring it to a general public, to make it mainstream, to make it something that people recognize as part of their own lives, will help change people's relationship with each other, because they'll see a greater connection among and between us, as well as that we're part of something greater rather than isolated individuals, as a lot of people think. But the people watching us kind of already know what I just said, and kind of what you just said. Maybe you're going to send this video to some of your friends to watch it. Send it around the hospital and let those guys see it if you feel like it, because you're an educator about meaningful coincidence, Kirby, and this is a way for other people to learn about what you know. And I hope you're able to get it out to them, as well as I'll get it out to other people that are already involved with watching this show. But let me ask you a couple of questions that you have offered me to ask you. Why is it so difficult to control synchronicities?
My God, Bernie. I've been trying to do this for a long time. And it's a very strange thing. Like, I'll see signs of synchronicity all the time. And then when I say, okay, I want that power, burn it, it stops. I don't see nothing. And I get mad and I get frustrated. I don't talk to people, you know? I mean, and...
You don't talk to people?
No, because I'm so frustrated, because I see this and I feel that I can have fun with it, you know? And I could play. I just want to play with it, you know, like,
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. And the video that's going to go on before your video is going to be called Fun with Synchronicity. And it's a woman that has a lot of fun with it, has a lot of fun with it. And she doesn't think of it that differently as from you, but she sees it in everyday life, like in license plates. She likes looking at license plates and reading them like they're tarot cards or something like them. She looks all around us, the kind of clothes people wear and what they mean to each other, and the weather and traffic. I mean, she just is right there in regular reality watching the coincidences take place. It may be that you're looking for like the bigger ones. I mean, you've had some pretty big ones. I mean, the one with winning the lottery or winning the football pool and your friend's death on the same day, a friend scattering his ashes on the same day, is kind of like, is not like looking at license plates and seeing what you're going to do tomorrow. Am I looking at you right, that you look for the big ones and not so much the small ones?
I see it all. I mean, I recall when I went to Rome, in Rome, like I went to meet my first wife. She's from Russia, and she saw like a lot of the playing cards, you know, right on the floor, and like she saw them all the time. And then, you know, like I saw them, I said, okay, and I kept it to my mind. And when she came here, guess what? She found a job as a blackjack, like a dealer at the Hard Rock, you know,
at the Hard Rock Cafe, yeah.
Right, which is the headquarters is here in Hollywood, actually. And and I said to myself, wow, like I saw the sign, like it took 5 years, but I always kept the playing cards. And then like it happened. So it happens to a lot of people, you know? I mean, like I like to see signs from not only me, but you, and from a lot of people. And I always have a little chuckle, you know, like I mean, I find it amazing, but I just want to know, who is it who picks up a theme? Because like, it'll pick up a theme, like today we're going to pick out baseball, you know, how the Yankees, and I'm going to see signs about the Yankees all the time. I'm looking like, okay, I mean, Yankees are okay, but I love the Marlins, you know what I mean? And it picks up signs, like you just have a tussle of important signs, and then you always have signs that in your mind you don't think is important, but guess what? Years later, it's important, you know? So like I might see how the Yankees all the time, and then years later, I'm in a hospital, and who knows, I might have a patient who was the owner of the Yankees, you know? So it's always like, I just want to know what is that machine that, you know, cranks up the theme? And I just want to play with it. Bernie, in a way, I'm being selfish, man. Like, I just want to be God and have fun, you know? Because when you see this power, it's fun. And then, like, they always say, you know, play is a feminine way of learning, you know? I mean, and I just want to have fun with it, you know?
I'm big on play because I'm at the learning entertainment interface, and coincidences can be a lot of fun. And one of the criticisms that I think you might get for some of your stories is that you link things that may better be thought of as more in the random direction, like your Yankees story, because if you're seeing a lot of patients in your hospital, you're going to run into people that you might have had some relationship to years ago, but you've got a good memory. And one of the things that you're saying is that in order to have synchronicities, you got to remember stuff. You got to remember this, and then you can match it to that. And my story at the beginning, and also the prayer of your parents, have a little bit in common, because we don't know how they happen, but we have some idea that prayer works somehow. We have some idea that prayer helps. Was it just a coincidence that your parents prayed so intensely? I don't think so. I think there's some way in which the need of a parent does something to help what they're looking for to happen. Or anybody who's got a lot of emotions about something helps make it happen. But as we get closer to the end of today, oh, you have a comment?
Yeah. And I have to say this. My parents, when I came back from the dead, do not call me I go Kirby. My parents call me Laza. Laza is the Haitian name of Lazarus, who had came back from the dead. But Bernie, I have a question. My parents had tapped into that spiritual source. I don't know how it happened, and I don't know how do we tap into that source, you know? They prayed really hard, and it took 3 hours, because 3 hours is a long time. So I asked my mom, were there a point where you about to give up? And then she said, no, you know? And then, like, she kept on praying. So I don't know how they did it. I mean, I don't know how they tap into that magical source, you know? I don't know if that it was like a once in a lifetime thing, that source came and it did the stuff, but then it left, you know?
Yeah, and I'm more and more believing that there is a source you can tap into, Kirby. That there is, but you have to believe that it's there in order for it to happen. It doesn't just kind of jump onto you and take care of things. You've got to, like, open yourself up to the possibility that there's some other healing force out there. On the one of the questions that you raised for us was how you deal with negative synchronicity. First, how do you define and give us some examples of negative synchronicity?
Sometimes I would allow it, but sometimes I feel there's going to be a lot of, you know, of negativity. And when I feel it, I say, like, I tell to how the universe, look, I want them to have peace, but I don't want to be right in the whole middle of it. So I just tell how the universe, please, I don't want to be a part of this, you know? But I want them to have peace, but I don't want to be a part of it. And that's what I do, you know? I mean, like, if I have a knife out and it's, you know, pointing on my table, I look at that, Bernie, and I say to myself, you know what? If I fall, that knife could, you know, like, I'll stab me, which is one out of whatever, but I see it. So then when I see it, I grab a knife and I put it in the drawer. And I know it sounds weird, but sometimes you hear stuff which happened to people, and it's one out of a billion. So I kind of look for those things too. So I know it's weird, you know, but I always try to look to see if it's negative, and then I try to like I try to say, you know what, that's not going to happen. Or if I go to a gas station and a person is trying to rob me, and then I look at the universe like, why did you pick me to be a part of that person? Like a synchronicity. I don't want to get robbed. Universe, please don't pick me. I don't want to be a part of it, you know? Because I think sometimes it's an energy and it grabs you and you're a part of a negative synchronicity. And I'm looking at this like, I don't want to be a part of it. Please, universe. I don't want to be a part of it. Please, please. Yeah.
Well, it didn't happen. You were robbed. Right. So that's you anticipating that it might happen. What about, have you had ones that are negative synchronicities?
Yeah. When they do happen, I always tell myself this, the world is perfect. And I keep on saying it. And I say to myself, I don't see it now, but it is going to lead me to the right places. And it always does. I always tell myself the world is perfect. I don't get it. I don't see it, but it's going to lead me to the right places.
Can you can you give us an example?
Oh man. Okay. Before I went to Rome, I was dating a girl, and it was negative, you know, like I had liked this girl and I loved her, but it was negative. And then my ex-wife, I had knew her for around, 10 years. And at the time, you know, this girl had gave me a hard time. And I said to myself, you know what? I have to let this go. And of course that I was hurt. And, you know, I cried a little bit because I'm not afraid to cry. You know, that's why you have tears, you know, have to cry sometimes. And, you know, and then I was crying. And then I said to myself, you know what? Like I haven't seen, because my ex-wife, I used to call her on her birthday for around 10 years. But I met her one time here. I met her in Miami, and then she went back to Russia. And each year I would call her on her birthday, you know, because I had a great date with her. And then it was like for around, 10 years. And then when I had called her for her birthday, she said that she was in Rome. And I've been all over Europe, but I never been to Rome. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna go to Rome. And then when I went to Rome, we really hit it off. And then I said to myself, you see, because I let my ex, girlfriend go, I met my wife, you know? So, sometimes when things are not going right, you just have to trust it and say, you know what? Like, I don't see this, but the world is perfect. Because the problem is, in our minds, we always see things in a straight line, but the universe sees things in a curve. It goes up and it goes down in a curve, but guess what? It's going to have a place that it knows that you are going to be very happy.
That's such an important idea. It's sometimes called resilience, being able to take a negative circumstance, try to see the positive in it, and expect something positive to be able to come out of it. And that's a central version of a good way to live one's life that you've just described. So we've come to the end of our session for today, Kirby, and I thank you very much for joining me and our having this extended discussion of some of your experiences. And I very much appreciate your being out there trying to at least somehow let people know that meaningful coincidences like synchronicity and serendipity are common and that it's worth paying attention to them. Do you talk with other people about them or just keep it to yourself?
I had to pull you out first because, Bernie, the way me and you and our little group sees the whole world, it's kind of weird. and if you tell people this, they think you're a little crazy, you know? So I have to fill it out. But the one thing I always tell people when I have to teach them, I always tell people this, keep a journal. If you write it down and go back, you will see that it is real and it happens all the time.
And you get to see the patterns. And that's so important to emphasize. And you take photographs to be able to confirm mm-hmm. what you're doing. So you've got a pretty good list of stories and pictures in your possession. And if we get around to it, I hope we do this, using artificial intelligence to look for patterns and coincidences, I might be tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, Kirby, maybe we can use some of your stories.
So, oh, cool. I mean, I have a whole lot.
You have a whole lot of them. And yeah, a lot of people do. And a lot of people do, and that's what I'm doing with the Coincidence Project is trying to say, okay, they're not so weird. Weird stuff happens regularly. I mean, it's just a funny play with the paradox of it. But you know it, I know it. We're going to help more people know it, and I hope you do show this video to some people because I'm legitimate. You know, I'm a legit kind of guy. I got a book and stuff, so you can like. You can say, hey, I talked to this legit guy about my stuff. He thinks it's not crazy. In fact, he thinks it's right. Perceiving the reality.
We went to Yale and Stanford. So
that usually helps.
Yes, it does.
That usually helps. So, Kirby, I'm going to say goodbye to you now. And
all right, Bernie.
Thank you again for being on the show. And you've got the stories. Let people know about it and blame me for it, okay?
Yes, I will.
The psychosphere is our mental atmosphere, like a hologram of cosmic consciousness.